Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Affordable Care Act set up complicated relationships between health insurance providers and the Health and Human Services Department. HHS pays if insurers incur losses from qualified plans. The insurers pay HHS if they make too much profit. So does that mean there's a contract in place? It took a lawsuit to decide in the case of one insurer who felt it was being stiffed by the government. Here with more on the case, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. And this is an unusual case, Joe. Tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, this is a case from the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. At the beginning of the implementation, it wasn't clear how many folks were going to sign up for health plans on the exchanges and what their characteristics would be. So it was very hard for insurers to figure out what the premiums should be for the contracts. And as you recall, there's no medical underwriting, so anyone who applied on the exchanges and was qualified would get a health care contract plan. So as a result, Congress set up this system called risk corridors, and it's just as you described. If there was profit that the company made, they would have to refund some of that profit to HHS. On the other hand, if they set their premiums too low and suffered a loss, HHS would reimburse some of that loss. So this took away some of the risk and encouraged health insurers to both participate in the exchanges and not to overprice their policies, which in itself would have caused problems with the program.
So from the surface of it, then, it does sound like there was some kind of, at least the skeleton of a contractual agreement or understanding between the government and these companies.
Well, it certainly looked like a quid pro quo, and that's how industry interpreted it. But the fact of the matter was that there were many more losses than gains in this program. And so the question is, where is the extra money going to come from? Because the payments by the insurers undershot the liabilities under this program. There were appropriations that were available, but starting with the appropriations for fiscal 2014, Congress added a rider prohibiting the use of appropriated funds to pay amounts due under the risk corridors. So HHS could not pay the shortfall. They only paid part of what was owed. And MOTA, which was owed $210 million, sued in the Court of Federal Claims to recover the money it was owed. The fact of the matter is that the liabilities for the program were huge. There was a $12 billion shortfall for the entire program.
And that law that Congress passed to not use appropriations, that was part of the, I guess, attempt to dismantle or roll back the ACA?
Well, yeah, I think that happened after Congress had turned to having majorities in both the House and Senate that were Republican.
So MOTA sued. This is a health insurance company that felt that it was owed money despite that law. And what happened?
They were asking for the $210 million in two different ways. One was the argument that there was a statute that required the payment, period. That could have been possible under some case law. And the other issue was, well, even if the statute didn't require it, we formed a contract with our conduct.
Got it.
And that's the issue that I'd like to concentrate on. MOTA won in the Court of Federal Claims, but lost on both counts at the Federal Circuit, the appellate court, won in the trial court and lost in the appellate court on a 2-1 ruling. Usually, a statute isn't the basis for a contract, but sometimes when you have the statute and then implementing regulations and conduct by the government and a private party, you can create a contract if it meets the usual tests of offer and acceptance, etc. MOTA argued that the conduct of the parties, especially the inducement to offer these health plans, and there was also a change in government policy that impacted the money that insurers made. They allowed individuals who already had health plans to keep those health plans during a transitional period instead of having to drop the health plans and move on to the exchanges. Those folks tended to be healthier, and so they were more profitable customers for the insurers. And, by changing that policy, they made it more likely that the insurers were going to come up short in terms of their covering their costs. So Moda thought that the conduct of the parties here, with the statute and the regulations, was sufficient to create a contract. There was a 1957 case that was kind of interesting. There was a program entered into in 1948 under which the government promised that for 10 years it would pay a specific price for any uranium that was mined in the United States in order to encourage companies to go ahead and mine uranium and provide it to the U.S. at the dawn of the atomic age. And when those payments weren't always forthcoming, companies that were aggrieved went to, at least one company that was aggrieved, went to the Court of Federal Claims, and they found that there was indeed a contract based on the conduct of the parties and the program that Congress had set up.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. So in this case, the first round of the court went by that precedent and found that there had been a contract between the government and Moda.
Right. Well, in this case, the Federal Circuit said that the information fell short, lacked the trappings of a contractual arrangement. The words offer wasn't used, and they was in the uranium case. There were some other indications, at least to the court, that indicated to two of the three judges that there wasn't a sufficient intent to form a contract. The third judge dissented, had a very pointed dissent in which he indicated that this certainly looked like a quid pro quo where the parties intended to be bound would have found in favor of Moda, but she was in the minority and they lost.
And then Moda appealed. All right. So therefore, what can contractors take away from this, or what can companies take away from this?
Well, I think what the takeaway is kind of unfortunate, which is if you enter into a government program, you're accepting a political risk that they'll change the ground rules later on, and your ability to get compensated for the investment you've made is going to be restricted, because it's going to be very hard to show an obligation on the part of the government to live up to its promises when you entered into the agreement, into the arrangement. I think this has implications throughout the spectrum of public-private cooperation in government programs. It might affect, for instance, space exploration. If the government sets up a program to try to encourage space exploration, those who enter it have to worry about whether or not the government's going to follow through on its promises.
Joseph Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much. Interesting case.
You're welcome.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.